I've come this morning to tell you that the Lord hath need of you. The Lord hath need of you. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Lord hath need of you. Turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor, the Lord hath need of you. If you will let go and let God, the Sunday before the crucifixion, and speculation was running wild all over the land whether Jesus, the prophet from Galilee, would come to celebrate the feast of unleavened bread and of Passover in Jerusalem. A multitude of followers from all over Palestine had come to Jerusalem to celebrate these feast days, which would last 8 days, days which God had commanded them to observe. The news of Lazarus being risen from the dead had gone throughout, even without text messaging, satellite television, telephones, even without all of our modern conveniences, the word had passed that a man named Lazarus, who had been dead for 4 days, had been raised from the dead. And people coming to Jerusalem, multitudes, had decided in their heart that while in Jerusalem for the feast days, I'm going to see if I can see this Lazarus and hear what he has to say. The Bible tells us that Jesus and his disciples arrived in Bethany 2 days before the weekly Sabbath, and remained there visiting with their friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. But on Sunday morning, he left Bethany with a multitude of his followers and with the curiosity seekers who always followed him. The Bible says, and when they arrived at Bethphage, he said to two of his disciples, as we've read, go into the village over against you, and which at the entering you will find, that means at the beginning of, just as you get inside of the gate, you will find a colt tied that no man has ever sat on. Loose him and bring him here. And if any man asks you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say to him, because the Lord hath need of him. And you've read that the Bible said it happened just as Jesus. How many people know that things in your life happen just as Jesus said? He will save you just as he said. He will never leave you nor forsake you, just like he said. He will provide for your daily needs according to his riches and glory, just like he. Somebody wrote that there are three roads which lead to Jerusalem. Each on this day was filled with a multitude of people on their way to Jerusalem. As Jesus rode down the Mount of Olives, God arranged a meeting of the crowds surrounding him with the multitude of other travelers. And the results of that meeting was that they all praised God for the mighty works he had done through Jesus. Works they had either seen or heard of from others. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, the Lord have need of you. After meeting and rejoicing together, can I preach today? This moving multitude began to spread their garments on the ground, making a carpet for him. And then they tore down branches from palm trees, and they laid them in the path that he was traveling. And all of a sudden, they started singing, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." One writer wrote, quote, "This casting of their garments beneath his feet were an ancient Oriental way of expressing the homage of a people toward their sovereign or their king, or at least one whom they wished to welcome as their sovereign and their king." Pastor Dixon, the question has been asked, why did Jesus ride this lowly animal into Jerusalem? You see, it was the custom of the day that a conquering hero or king would ride into his newly captured city or acquired city a white horse, the supreme animal of war. Instead of entering Jerusalem like an arrogant conqueror, Jesus rode on an humble beast of burden, symbolizing the meekness of his majesty. Although he entered the city with royal authority, he waived all of the grandeur that accompanies that authority. Can I? The declaration of the royalty, of his royalty by the crowd, greatly angered his enemies. So they asked him to stop the people from calling him the Messiah. He answered, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And his enemies went out and plotted on how, not whether, but how they could arrange his death. Can I teach you something this morning? Look at this. Look at verses 37 and 38. "And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives," watch this now, "the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Now, I need to show you a comparison. For in Luke chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, after the angel announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds, the Bible says, "And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." At his birth, they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men." But on his way to his death, his father was said, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord," quoting Psalm 118, verse 26. And then they said, "Peace in heaven and glory in the peace in heaven, not on earth, peace in heaven." They in heaven? Ray Summers wrote, "Traditionally, Solomon's reign was thought of as a period of peace in contrast to the war years of David. The Messianic age was also thought of as a time of peace. The emphasis in this word of praise was on peace in heaven. God at peace with men and blessing them through his Messiah." End quote. But G. Campbell Morgan wrote, there can be no peace on earth that does not result from peace in heaven. It is when there is peace with God that man finds peace on earth. Now, that may not have excited anybody, but that just caught me. They declare peace in heaven. The angel said peace on earth. Peace. Can I tell you one more thing? Watch this now. The disciples told the angels, the animals' owners, the Lord hath need of him. Notice they did not say our Lord, our leader, the person, our pastor. They said the Lord. The Lord, the Lord of all heaven, the Lord, the Lord of all earth, the Lord that owns everything, the Lord who declared in Psalm 118:25, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills are mine. That Lord now has need for this, his possession. Well, church, I came to tell you this morning that Jesus has need of you. You see, to be needed by someone for something should be considered a very high compliment and immediately call one to action. Yet to have need of someone does not always indicate an inability by the needer to accomplish something. It also allows for someone who will accept an opportunity to be a part of a solution. Albert Garner wrote, because the master has need of it. And that should be reason enough for a child of God to surrender whatever he manages that God needs in his service for any special occasion or need. He still needs to use human hearts, human influence, and human talents. Some unknown writer, and I'm almost finished, said the church has the responsibility to occupy the world until Christ returns. In 1983, due to the rise of communist insurgency, President Reagan ordered U.S. troops into Grenada. In just 8 hours, the battle was over. However, many of the communists would not accept defeat. Rather than surrender, they sniped at our troops from behind cars and behind buildings and from behind trees. So our troops remained there until the victory was secured and the new government was installed. I came to tell you that when Jesus died on the cross and rose from the dead, he was victorious over all of God's enemies. He clearly won the victory. However, Satan and his followers have not accepted defeat and still try to claim victory. Thus the church, us, you and me, is God's occupational force until he comes again. Therefore the Lord have need of you. If God can use a non-speaking, non-thinking donkey as a vehicle for Christ, he can certainly use you to introduce Christ to those who are lost. Don't worry about what or who you used to be. Don't worry about what or used to say, nor what you've done to others. But be ready to change from the lowly status in which you have lived into the exalted status of a child of the living God. For the Lord, the Bible says, and I know that if God can accept and use a pagan worshiper like Abraham, a liar like Jacob, a murderer like Moses, an adulterer like David, a runaway like Jonah, a hothead like Peter, a thief like Matthew, a prostitute like Mary Magdalene, a bounty hunter like Paul, and a wretch like me, he can use you. And you, and you, and you, and you. Well, the Lord have need of you, but more important, whether you know it or not, you have need of the Lord. Say it. For God has declared that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that what? I came to tell you that our Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior, our friend, our brother, which we have need of, was born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He cried like a baby, crawled like an infant, walked like a toddler, played like a boy, grew like a man, worked as a carpenter, left home at 30 years old, baptized in the River Jordan, was tested by Satan, and one day, when his life here was over, he died on an old rugged cross. He died, but he didn't stay dead. Because early one Sunday morning, he got up from the grave with all power in his hand. God have need of you. God is saying, I want you. I want you. Yeah. One of these old days, when this life is over, I'll fly away, because God called me and I answered his call. How many of you? How many know in your heart that you're not serving God? You're not worshiping God. You're not giving him your best. And anything less than your best is not enough. Because God programmed everything that's in you. He knows what's there. He knows what he wants to use, when he wants to use it. The question then becomes, who are you? What are you? To whom do you belong? If you belong to God, you ought to say, I'm available for your service. I'm available for your life, your will to my life. I'm available. Like the Reverend just said, I'm yours. Do with me. The donkey didn't argue. The donkey didn't ask him if you come back later. Donkey didn't say, I need a break right now. When the crowd got loud, the donkey didn't run away. Am I right about it? Now, if a donkey can be obedient unto the master, what about you? What's happening in your life that keeps you from being used by God? You were created by God to accomplish something that he created you to do. Are you doing it? Or are you just prolonging life, getting through? God have need of you. Repeat after me. God have need of me. God have need of me. God have need of me. Lord, I'm available. Use me for your service. As long as I live. Thank you, Lord, for choosing me. Thank you, Lord, for using me. Use me till you use me up. God hath need for you.